Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat your children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. What a day it's been, to say the least. As far as the NFL goes, it's insane right now. Go over some of the things that's happened today. It was a shocker, to say the least, earlier on, because the Cleveland Browns made a trade with the Houston Texans. And initially, when you see the trade, you say, that's a Cleveland Brown trade to the T. The Browns trade a fourth-round pick to Houston in exchange for Brock Osweiler and a second-round pick. So it looks brilliant, right? Because it saves Houston $16 million in cap space, 10 against the cap this upcoming year, 16 total. The Browns are taking the whole contract on, and they're getting a second-round pick. Here's why this trade works and what kind of chaos this trade is actually going to cause the league, okay? So I think the Browns have an idea of who they want at quarterback. I think they want Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that's their guy. They acquire Brock Osweiler. They have over $100 million. They have $100 million to spend this offseason. There's no way they're going to spend that. I think they're trying to spend it. They're doing everything they can. It's like they have a surplus. It's like your mom gives you $5 to open up a lemonade stand. You only spend two, so instead of giving her that money back, you're going to go to the candy store and you're going to try to spend that money. That's what Cleveland's trying to do here. They can absorb some of Brock Osweiler's contract, and they're going to move this guy again. But they accumulate a second-round pick. And I think they have enough now to pry Jimmy Garoppolo away from New England. I think that's what this entire deal is based on. And again, it's brilliant for Houston because you're saving a lot of money. You're getting rid of Brock Osweiler. When it's all said and done, that 1 year of Brock is going to cost Houston about $21 million. But they get away from it by just giving up a second-round pick. And now, as we talked about this yesterday on the show, it doesn't appear that the Cowboys are going to release Tony Romo. Instead, they are now going to trade Tony Romo. And Houston making this move, getting rid of Brock Osweiler, tells me that they have a deal in place, or they are close to somehow grabbing Romo from the Cowboys. That's what it looks like to me. Now, the Denver Broncos are another team that have talked to Romo, and there's a chance that maybe they could trade for him. So this is why this one deal, this Houston Osweiler to Cleveland deal, is such a big deal, because we're going to see Osweiler traded again. He's not going to stay put in Cleveland. There's already reports surfacing that teams have actually called on Osweiler, and because you could get him at a bargain now. Cleveland is so far under the cap that they could basically buy a second-round pick, pay a portion of Osweiler's salary, and move him on. That's probably what's going to happen. So there's another deal in the works right there. And then that could actually work into favor for Cleveland, where they bring in Garoppolo. So there's two more deals. And then you look at Houston trying to acquire Romo, there's three deals. It's almost like an NBA-type trade. You never see this happen in the NFL. I can't recall the last time there was a trade in the NFL based around a salary dump. It rarely happens in this league. It happened today, and it's going to continue. I think this is something that you're going to have to watch for the next couple of days, because teams are going to continue to make moves. Cleveland already released a statement, and they said nothing about Brock Osweiler. They said they were thrilled to get a second-round pick. I'm sure they are. They want Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think that's where that pick ends up going. They're going to move that pick, and they're going to end up moving it to New England and get their guy. It's been a while since I could sit and look at a trade and say, Cleveland did quite well. And again, on the surface, it looks as if the Browns did bad. You look at it and you say, oh, they're getting Brock Osweiler. That's a very Cleveland thing to do. They're not done yet. I think the Browns are actually really going to come out looking good in this deal. That was the big news today in the NFL. And now, yes, the Tony Romo watch is on once again. Looks like the Cowboys are, in fact, going to get something from him. And if you're Houston, I don't know what you give up. You don't have a second round pick now. Maybe you give up that fourth. And if you're Dallas, you take a fourth round pick for a guy that you were just going to cut anyways. And so now you have Houston, who probably had their eye on Romo to begin with. They thought they were going to be able to sign him outright. Not the case. Now they're in a bidding war with the Broncos. I think this whole thing just caused a bunch of chaos today. And that's not the only teams that's working without a quarterback. The Chicago Bears officially have released Jay Cutler. And I know Bear fans absolutely hate Cutler. I know. But look, he's going to have a job at a new home relatively soon. Because this draft class for quarterbacks, it's not off the charts. And you're probably going to be able to grab Cutler at a bargain at this point in time. So I would expect the Jets to make a play for this guy. If Houston or Denver, whichever squad does not land Tony Romo, they probably make a play for Cutler. There were a lot of rumors earlier today that just maybe Cutler would be on the Broncos' radar. I mean, he's already played there once, but it seems like it would be a seamless fit, right? I mean, here's a guy that he's an improvement over Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian. Cutler has not necessarily performed up to expectations in Chicago, but at the same time, he's better than the two options that Denver has at quarterback right now. So there's going to be a quarterback carousel in the NFL over the next little while. Some other news to note, Alshon Jeffrey has a new home. He is heading to the Philadelphia Eagles. He signs a one-year, $14 million deal today. There were talks that the Chicago Bears were close to inking him to another deal to keep him at home. There was interest on both sides, but now he is a former Bear, and he is going to Philadelphia. Some of the other news to note throughout the league, we talked about the Detroit Lions yesterday. They grabbed one of the best tackles in free agency, one of the best right tackles in free agency yesterday. The Rams made a couple of big moves today. Robert Woods, who was really pretty good in Buffalo. He showed signs of being really good, and he was inconsistent at other times. I think he's the best blocking wide receiver on the market right now. He has signed a five-year deal. He's going to go back to L.A. He's going to play in the same Coliseum that he played at in college because he was a USC Trojan. And so that was a big wide receiver move. He's coming off the board. DeSean Jackson has signed a deal with Tampa Bay. That's a big deal as well. So there has been a lot of stuff happening over the last few hours that has made the NFL really interesting to watch. But, of course, nothing as interesting as this Cleveland Browns and Houston Texans deal. Although the New England Patriots, they are pulling off more New England Patriot-type moves. Earlier today, they landed a guy that's going to be the second highest paid player on the team, and grabbing Stephon Gilmore, who didn't necessarily match expectations during his first couple of years in Buffalo, but took a giant leap with Rex Ryan. Huge signing for New England. And this comes a day after the Patriots trade a fourth round pick to get Dwayne Allen, who's going to replace Martellus Bennett. So they filled a slot there on a fourth round pick. They slap Malcolm Butler with a first-round tender worth about $4 million this year. He's underpaid, right? Other teams can negotiate with him, but if they sign him, the Patriots are going to get a first-round pick back in return, and they've already have a replacement plan by bringing in Gilmore. That's why the Patriots are the Patriots. They're in a situation where they can just continue to reload, they continue to bring in players, and they're one step ahead of everybody in the league. They're in that position to do it right now. Plus, they're probably going to get a good haul for Jimmy Garoppolo. Some of the big news to note throughout the NFL, we'll talk more NFL a little bit later on in the show. We do have NCAA basketball going on right now, Pac-12 tournament action. The Utah Utes are tied right now with California 22-22. And as far as the Pac-12 tournament goes, I mean, there's college basketball all day, all around the country right now as conference tournaments are in full swing, and we're getting closer to Selection Sunday. But the Pac-12 tournament is one that's really interesting because you have Oregon, you have UCLA. Those are a couple of teams that are legitimate threats to grab a number one seed, and I'm really curious to see if those two meet up in the conference championship. Plus, you have Arizona. You can't forget about them. Already today, Oregon picked up a victory over Arizona State, so they advanced. They will play the winner of this Utah-Cal game, which is tied at 22. On the flip side of the bracket, later on tonight, we get Colorado and Arizona, and then USC and UCLA. That's how the Pac-12 bracket looks at right now. Let's take a look at some of the other scores. Kansas, number one, well, they got beat today. TCU tops them 85-82. That is in the quarterfinals of the Big 12 championship. Villanova tops St. John's 108-67. Nova, the number two team in the country, put up 52 points in the first half and 56 in the second half. Talked about Oregon topping Arizona State. North Carolina defeats Miami 78-53. Duke defeats Louisville 81-77. Iowa State over Oklahoma State 92-83. Still some very important games to come throughout the evening, and we'll talk about those a little bit later on in the show. A lot happening right now, to say the least, in the national sports front. We'll give you an update on the local sports front here in just a moment. Softball season opened up for both Carbon and Emory yesterday. Coach Sean Bell is going to join us on the show. We'll talk about Emory and their slow start to the season. They were shut out by Carbon yesterday. It's a young team. They may take their lumps early, but I would expect some pretty drastic improvement by the squad. They started a freshman yesterday on the pitcher's mound. We're going to talk to Coach Sean Bell about that. And again, we'll continue to talk NFL football later on in the show. Tonight in the NBA, we only have five games. It'll begin at 5:30. Cleveland will travel on the road to meet Detroit. The Grizzlies play host to the Clippers. Jazz fans need to take note of that game. Tip-off for that one is set at 6 p.m. San Antonio will be on the road to take on Oklahoma City. 6 p.m. start time. That game is on TNT. Philadelphia travels to Portland at 8 p.m., and the Lakers are on the road to take on Phoenix. That's the second game of the TNT doubleheader beginning at 8:30. We're going to break for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this on 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.
Chicken is better when it's shared. It's a scientific fact, but don't look it up. So grab a few friends and get into KFC for their $20 fill-up. You'll get 8 pieces of their juicy chicken, original grilled or crispy, 3 large sides of your choice, and 4 flaky buttermilk biscuits, all for just $20. That's a delicious deal. While you're there, don't forget to grab a gallon of their famous root beer. With KFC, you get a complete home-cooked meal that you don't have to cook. Take the stress out of dinner tonight. KFC has got you covered.
Sam Walton drove a 10-year-old pickup truck and died one of the richest men in America. I may not be able to make you rich, but I'm sure I can help you keep your truck for at least 10 years. I'm Joe Piccolo with Supreme Auto Repair on 100 North behind Smith's. Today's cars and trucks are made for 200,000 miles of driving, even more. It just requires regular service, and that's what Supreme is in the business to deliver. Bring your car or truck to Supreme for service. We'll share a plan to drive a vehicle as long as Sam Walton. Supreme Auto Repair in the Piccolo Auto Plaza.
Utah's energy provides a better life for Utahns. Utah Coal provides more than 80% of Utah's electricity. Utah's natural gas provides an additional 15% in electricity.
This fact brought to you by the Southeastern Utah Energy Producers Association, better known as SUPA, an organization of energy producers like coal mines, oil and natural gas producers, and power plants. SUPA's goal is to promote energy production and our way of life here in the Castle Valley. Become a member of SUPA today and support our energy industry by calling 650-5701.
Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The Carbon Lady Dinos and Emory Lady Spartans went head-to-head last night as they opened up the softball season in Price, and the Lady Dinos ran away with a victory, topping Emory 13-1. Kenley Nelson pitched a complete game for the Lady Dinos, giving up just one hit in the victory. Carbon accumulated 13 hits, scoring 12 runs off of those 13 hits. And they also put up 5 runs in the opening frame, 1 in the second, 1 in the third, 3 in the fourth, and 2 in the fifth. The Emory Lady Spartans committed 4 errors in the contest. Braylee Clark was charged with the loss on the hill. The Lady Spartans will have an opportunity to bounce back tomorrow as they take on Duchesne at home in the second contest of the year. The Lady Dinos will return to the field tonight. They'll travel on the road to meet Pineview. That'll be a part of a 3-game road trip in St. George. The March warm-up will continue throughout the weekend for the Lady Dinos. They'll take on Cedar, Skyline, which is from Idaho, a squad from Arizona, Kearns, and Enterprise. All of those games will take place in a 3-day span. The soccer season is just about to get underway for both Carbon and Emory boys. And this weekend, both teams will travel down south to St. George to play 3 games in 2 days. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by Coach Troy Winter of the Emory High School Spartan squad, and he talked a little bit about his team moving into the new season.
You know, as far as the summer programs and the winter programs that we have going on right now, they do a lot of club soccer here locally. We travel quite extensively, you know, through the winter, playing futsal, indoor soccer, and then through the summer there we have several tournaments that we'll hit through the summer as well too.
There will be a brutal 3-game stretch for Emory. They'll take on Summit Academy and Delta as 2 of their 3 opponents this weekend. Coach Winter says it's a good thing to play a tough non-league schedule before region play begins next week.
It's going to be a lot of hard work and effort. Those that have that drive and want to play soccer, have a desire to want to be successful on the soccer field. And so that's what we'll watch for this weekend. It's kind of a preseason opportunity to see who's going to stand out, who's going to give us 110%, and I'm looking forward to that.
You can listen to this complete interview by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. Last night on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, the Utah Jazz earned an important 115-108 victory over the Houston Rockets on the road. The Jazz scored an impressive 64 points in the first half, and that set the pace for the second half as they grabbed the win. Rudy Gobert registered a double-double for the Jazz. He finished with 23 points and 10 rebounds. Gordon Hayward scored 23 points, and Rodney Hood finished with 19. The win puts the Jazz just 3 games behind the Rockets for third place in the Western Conference. The Jazz will return to the court on Saturday. They'll take on the Oklahoma City Thunder on the road at 1 p.m. You will be able to listen to the live broadcast right here on KOAL. You'll find more news, sports, and community events, including spring sports schedules for both Carbon and Emory, at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Whether you're with coworkers, family, or friends, going to lunch is always a battle between appetites.
Where should we go?
You decide. I always decide.
On and on until everyone's starving. Big Mo's Eatery is always the right answer for lunch, no matter the argument. Big Mo's salads are refreshing and full of flavor. Order a juicy half-pound burger and fresh-cut fries, and you'll be full all day. For the indecisive, try a turkey bacon avocado or savory French dip. Win the lunch spot battle every time by choosing Big Mo's Eatery and Price.
Is it time for a new vehicle, but you're afraid a new car just isn't in the budget? Well, then it's time to come see me, Jesse, at Jane Auto in Huntington. We carry quality, nearly new vehicles, but without the brand new sticker price. We have a large inventory of slightly used vehicles, many with remaining manufacturer warranties. Get a practical new vehicle for a much better price here at Jane Auto. At Jane Auto, we are committed to making you a lifetime customer. We promise a stress-free buying experience and top-notch customer service that we hope will make you a lifetime customer. Come see us at Jane Auto today.
No crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
Softball season opener yesterday in Castledale. The Emory Lady Spartans fall into the Carbon Lady Dinos by a final score of 12-0. Carbon gets 13 hits, scores 12 runs off of 13 hits. That's a solid offensive outing. The Lady Spartans, a very young squad, not a single senior on this year's team, mixed between some freshmen and some sophomores and juniors. Joining us right now to talk about yesterday's game and what lies ahead for his squad, we have Emory Lady Spartan softball coach Sean Bell over the phone right now. Coach, as always, I appreciate you making time for us. Great to get you back on this year. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Jordan.
Coach, it was a tough outing for you guys yesterday. Shutout form, 12-0. You get 2 hits throughout the contest. Carbon gets 13. I mean, all in all, it's always tough to lose to the rival. But talk a little bit about this game yesterday and what went wrong for you guys.
Yeah, we had a freshman starter, and she come out, and she pitched really well. But Carbon's a really good hitting team, and it was a good learning experience for us.
That's a good team. I mean, you and I were talking off of the cuff. You look at what the Dinos, the Lady Dinos, have been able to accomplish. I mean, they're a good squad totally. I mean, all the way around. So it's not as if you guys were starting the season off with a cupcake.
No, Carbon is a very good team. They've been playing a long time together, and they really mesh really well.
As far as the offense goes for the team right now, obviously that was a struggle for you guys yesterday. You do log a couple of hits. You did get a runner on third. Unfortunately, just unable to bring him across home plate, Coach. So what are some of the things that you guys need to work on that you noticed yesterday offensively?
Offensively, we actually hit the ball. We had some really good hits. Carbon's defense was good. Their pitcher was outstanding. Can't take nothing away from Carbon. We need to work on some more hitting, but we had some, we just didn't get it hit the holes.
You guys fall down in this game early, Coach, 5-0 at the end of the first inning. I mean, how much of that first inning was kind of one of those, how much of that affected the rest of the ball game? I mean, you have such a young team. Did the girls get down on themselves after that first inning? Did you sense some panic?
You know, we had a couple of errors in the first inning. The girls actually come back really good. Probably after the first inning, it probably should have only been 2-0, and we was down 5. I talked to them, and they knew that, Carbon's a really good team, and they really didn't get down too much. They fought back, and after the first inning, we settled down, and they scored two and two, and then I think they scored four on us the last inning. But we got a lot of work to do. We're really young, but I think the girls handled themselves pretty good.
Let's talk about this young team. You don't have any seniors on this squad, and you guys were also down Bailey Huggard, who's one of your top pitchers and also a shortstop, right? So you guys were shorthanded anyways on a team that's so young.
Yeah. Bailey's a huge component to our team. She's a great shortstop, and she's a really good pitcher, and she's got one of the best bats on our team. And she got a concussion in state basketball, so she's been out. Hopefully we can get her back soon.
As far as the makeup of the team goes, Coach, you look at the years of these girls. I mean, is it predominantly the sophomore class that you'll be playing at varsity this year?
It's kind of mixed. It's probably 50-50 with juniors and sophomores. Most of them played multi-sports with each other, so they get along very well.
Which is obviously important, especially at the beginning of the season, right? I mean, there's camaraderie there right off of the bat.
It is. We went down and we had a dinner the night before, and the girls got along really well, and I'm looking for a good season out of them.
Well, you guys will have a opportunity to bounce back tomorrow. You'll take on Duchesne at home, and this is a squad that I know in the past they're kind of a bag of mixed nuts, aren't they? I mean, there are some years where you look at Duchesne and they're extremely good, and there are other years where, you know, they're down a little bit. You guys have had some success with Duchesne in the past, though.
Yeah, Duchesne is actually a really good team. They're a 1A team. The last 2 years, they've had a lot of older girls, and they've played really well. I'm not sure how they'll be this year, but I think it'll be a really good game for us.
What are some of the things that you'll hope to expand on in this game, Coach, compared to the first game? Some of the things that you're hoping to fine-tune that you know needs definite improvement and you expect the girls to kind of improve on?
You know, our outfield kind of struggled a little bit. Carbon hit some really good shots to us. The girls will step up this game, and I'm sure they're going to make them catches. And I think our bats are going to be a lot better. I don't think there's too many pitchers that we're going to face that are going to be as well-rounded as Carbon's pitchers were.
Now, they have two senior pitchers that are definitely going to be standouts. For you guys, you started Braylee Clark, right? Is that who took the mound last night for you guys?
Yeah. Braylee is a freshman. This is her first year, first start of the season. And she actually looked really well. She was a little nervous, but after she got her composure after the first inning, she pitched pretty well.
Yeah, you talk about baptism under fire, right? I mean, your first varsity game as a freshman, you got to go up against Carbon, who's got a pretty good squad. So, I mean, immediately she was put in a pretty difficult situation.
Yeah, and I talked to her 2 days before that. I let her know that she was going to start and told her that Carbon was really well. And you know, she was nervous, but she handled herself really well.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Sean Bell of the Emory Lady Spartan softball squad. Coach, let's talk about the makeup of the region and where you see you guys fitting in. I mean, last year, if I remember correctly, 1-8 is what you guys finished in league play. You know, it's a tough season. You guys won 6 games total last year, if I remember right as well, off the top of my head. How do you look to expand off of last year, which was a little bit of a down year, but again, you have a lot of those returning sophomores who are now juniors. How do you think this team improves from last year?
You know, last year we lost 3 pitchers, so that was devastating for us. Bailey was one of them. I think our pitching-wise, we're going to be really, really good. Our region is tough. Moab and Gunnison are, I'm guessing, they're probably in the top 3 teams in 2A. So I think we have a good chance of, you know, taking third place. We're going to have a lot of struggles. Hopefully we can get our pitchers going really well. And our pitchers, we have a freshman and a sophomore pitcher, so we're young at pitching, but I think they'll step up for us and do a good job.
Obviously, the goal is always to win a league crown, but you're being realistic in the fact of looking at Grand and looking at Gunnison, and I know North Sevier looks like they're going to be pretty good this year as well, and saying it's a tough region, and it's also a process. Do the younger girls accept that, knowing that it's a process and it's going to take time to compete for a league crown, especially in this 2A East, which is so highly competitive?
You know, these girls, they fight really hard, and I really believe that they think they're going to be right up to the top, and I think that we can be. Both Gunnison and Grand have a lot of returning players, so they're going to be tough.
Yeah, and well, like you said, I mean, front to back, it's a really good region all the way around. If you look at the 2A in general, Coach, do you pay attention to other regions, or do you basically just focus on Emory and the 2A East?
No, I try to focus most on ours, but I keep a pretty good eye on all of them.
What do you think of the 2A classification this year?
You know, most teams move up to 3A next year, and I think most of the teams could really compete with 3A. 2A is really tough in softball.
I think the two-way classification across the board is pretty good in every sport. I think sometimes people get it. It's kind of a misconception of, okay, it's two-way. It's one of the lower classifications. But that's not a clear indication on how good the talent level really is, because there's some great ball players across the board in every sport.
There is. And we're, you know, next year when we move up to 3A, people, I know the people are watching, and they know that the 2A is tough.
That definitely is. Now, after this Friday's contest against Duchesne, you guys will have the weekend off, right, Coach? Then you guys will jump back into action next week against North St. Pete. And that's it for non-league play. I mean, right after that, you guys are taking on Grand.
We play Friday, and then we play North St. Pete. And then we go to St. George for five games, and then we start our league.
So you guys do have a couple of other games to kind of prepare for league play. It's not as I know the soccer team is jumping right in next week. You guys still have a little bit of time.
Yeah, it's still pretty rough. I mean, we don't get a lot of practice time in, so we gotta fix on the go. Going down to St. George, we'll see five teams that they're all going to be pretty good teams. So we'll learn about a lot of who we are down there.
As far as the timing of the schedule for softball, it's very similar to baseball. You guys play so many games in such a short period of time. How difficult is that for a coach with a younger team? I mean, you don't have a lot of practice time because you guys play so many games in a short amount of time.
Yeah, our first week we had tryouts, we had one practice, and we had the junior prom, so half of my team was gone for the junior prom, so basically we've had 2.5 practices before our first game.
That's insane. That's crazy to think about.
It's rough.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you got such a grind of a schedule, no less, and then everything that just happens. I know that the schools are up against it as far as the end of the school year coming in May, but, I mean, that's got to be difficult from a coaching standpoint.
You know, and the majority of my team played basketball, so they couldn't even get in and work out before because they, you know, state's going. So they didn't have a lot of time to prepare for themselves, but we'll get there.
Right. Well, Coach, it was fun to talk about the game last night. I really always appreciate you making time for us. Best of luck as you guys take on Duchesne, and hopefully we can catch up again next week.
Sure thing, Jordan, and thanks for having us on.
No problem. That's Coach Sean Bell of the Emory Lady Sport and Softball Squad. Again, we'll continue to keep tabs on them throughout the entire season. Hopefully they can bounce back tomorrow and grab a victory over Duchesne. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we'll talk some NFL football. Free agency is underway. We have some movement already. Plus, it looks as if the Raiders may actually be on their way to Las Vegas. I mean, you talk about an exciting time for Vegas. They signed their first player to their professional hockey team earlier in the week. Their hockey team, which will come into the league next year. They add a second NASCAR race, and now they're about to get the Raiders. How close is this deal from happening? We'll talk about that when we return.
Colon cancer is known as the silent killer since it can go for so long unnoticed without proper screening. Don't be a statistic. Join Castleview Hospital doctors Kyle Jeffrey and John Pressett on Tuesday, March 14th from 6 to 8 p.m. in the Castleview Hospital classroom next to the cafeteria for a colon cancer awareness night and learn about the importance of a colonoscopy. There is no charge for the event and dinner will be served. Again, that is March 14th from 6 to 8 p.m.
Spring is almost here. You've been thinking all winter about getting out and enjoying the sun. Don't let the worry of financing that new truck, RV, or ATV stop you another year. At Desert View Federal Credit Union, they make it easy to get the financing you need to get out and play this year. With amazing rates and service you can trust, get into Desert View today and start financing your fun. Find them on Main Street in Huntington and Farron.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
At Desert View, it's all about you.
Do you enjoy working with animals and being outdoors? Then USU Eastern has the perfect degree for you, a Bachelor's in Wildlife Sciences. The Bachelor's program is taught on the USU Eastern Price Campus. In this program, you will learn how to analyze, manage, conserve, and restore rangeland ecosystems. The degree also offers opportunities to work hands-on with faculty members in the field and participate in cutting-edge projects. If you would like to get paid to work with wildlife in the great outdoors, contact Mike King at USU Eastern today, 888-202-8783. USU Eastern, transforming lives for good.
Every time I walk through the doors at Big Don's, it's like I've entered my own little Italy, with a twist, of course. You see, there's pizza, and then there's Big Don's pizza.
Huh?
You'll know exactly what I mean when you try the Mexican Fiesta. It's like a top-notch taco on a pizza, or the Hawaiian Luau. One bite of the shredded ham or the fresh pineapple, and you're walking the beaches of Waikiki. Or my personal favorite, the Greek Street. Greek sausage, spinach, artichokes, feta cheese. What's not to love? Pizza's not just pizza at Big Don's, located at 170 West, 100 South.
Colon cancer is known as the silent killer since it can go for so long unnoticed without proper screening. Don't be a statistic. Join Castleview Hospital doctors Kyle Jeffrey and John Pressett on Thursday, March 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Old Orangeville Fire Station on Main Street in Orangeville for a colon cancer awareness night and learn about the importance of a colonoscopy. There is no charge for the event and dinner will be served. Again, that's March 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. in Orangeville.
Listen to Drive Time Sports, weekdays 4 to 5 on News Talk, KOAL.
A long three from Thompson, and that is an NBA record, his 10th three-pointer of the night. Thompson fires the three, yes! Golden State by three.
This is Clay Thompson from the Golden State Warriors, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan McLeod on KOAL, 7:50 a.m.
Less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me.
We are back on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. So much to talk about right now with the NFL. The free agent frenzy is officially underway. Teams are trying to gain as much cap space as possible. We've talked about one trade already today. Brock Osweiler on his way to Cleveland. And that opens up the door for the Texans to make a couple of other moves. We have relocation talk going on and some other free agent movements to talk about. Right now we have Brian Mejia, our Drive Time Sports NFL insider, with us based out of Los Angeles. Brian, I know you're like a little kid on Christmas, I'm sure, this day, right? I mean, this is the fun day of the offseason.
This is the best day. This is Christmas for a lot of football players, and it's Christmas for guys like me that like to get information onto our cell phones at every 2 minutes. And it's just, if you like to refresh your Twitter feed, this is the best day to do it, to find out who your team is going to sign right now that it's the free agent time.
Worst starting quarterback in the NFL, Brock Osweiler, and I don't think there's any debate on that. He's on the move. He's going to the Cleveland Browns. The Texans have to give up a second-round pick to get rid of him. So they're trading Brock Osweiler and a number two to Cleveland in exchange for a fourth-round pick. You and I were talking about this off of the cuff, and I think you hit it right on the head. It reeks of an NBA trade. It's one of the bad contracts, one of the bad deals in which teams are doing anything they can to move on from it. It just so happened that Houston has to get rid of a second-round pick to gain that cap relief. Really looking at this on paper, I think it works for both teams because the Browns have a lot of cap space. They can absorb that entire contract and they get a second round draft pick. And let's be honest, that's what they want.
Exactly. And I don't think they're out of the quarterback market by any stretch of the imagination. It's simply just a salary dump. And they have a ton of cap space, close to $100 million. And I think they needed to eat up some of that cap space with a horrible contract like Brock Osweiler. So that's something that they did. And I'm sure they're going to, they may keep him, they may release him, they may have him as a backup or whatever and whatnot, but I definitely think that they're still on the market for a quarterback long term.
Brian, I don't think it's out of the question that Cleveland could still draft a quarterback with their second first-rounder that they had this year, but here's the first thing that popped into my mind upon seeing this trade. Did the Patriots hold their cards a little bit too tight on Jimmy Garoppolo, or do they really believe that Garoppolo is the next option once Tom Brady calls it quits in the next couple of years? I mean, the Patriots in some capacity have to be involved in this deal because I thought Garoppolo to Cleveland seemed very likely at one point in time.
I agree with you, and I think the 49ers are still up in that mix as well. But I will say this. I feel like the Browns could just say, I think the Patriots want two first-rounders because they feel that, you know, this is the guy that they get the most off of. Obviously, Jimmy is a guy that you know, like you said, Tom Brady is going to retire pretty soon. I don't think he's going to play more than two years at most. And I feel like the Patriots are going to have to move on eventually. So they, you know, they're interested in keeping him, but if they get offered a first round pick or two first round picks or a second and a first, I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't take it. The Browns could just say, "We'll offer you the first overall pick in the NFL draft for the services of Jimmy Garoppolo." I think that would make the deal done. But obviously, we need to see this come to fruition. But I think Bill is going to hold his cards tight until everything is settled and these teams get desperate for a quarterback like Jimmy.
yesterday on the show, I said the most logical spots for Tony Romo to land would be A, Denver, or B, Houston. B looks a lot more likely now, although Denver has done a little bit of work today to beef up that offensive line.
Well, I'll tell you this. Whenever you get rid of Brock Osweiler and have to trade a second-round pick, it automatically tells me you're doing the Romo deal no matter what. They're doing it. Houston just basically said, we're getting Tony Romo. That's all that means to me. I don't think John's going to give up as much as Houston would to get Tony. And obviously, you know what, at the end of the day, I think with the Raiders and the Chiefs and the Steelers, I think Houston is right up there with the top teams in the AFC. And either one of these teams could win the AFC next year. Patriots, Raiders, Chiefs, Steelers, Houston if they get Romo, and or Denver if they get Romo. One of those teams are definitely going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Again, our guest right now is Brian Mejia, our NFL insider based out of Los Angeles. Let's talk about some of the other moves that have gone down today. I mean, first off, you're in L.A. We talk about the Rams. They bring in Robert Woods, and they also go out, and they make a huge improvement, a move that I think is going to go underneath the radar a little bit. But they grab Whitworth from Cincinnati. Now, Cincinnati lost two key components on that offensive line. Looks a little shaky right now if you're the Bengals, but as far as what the Rams have done, grabbing Whitworth and Woods, it's not flashy, it's not sexy, but I actually like both moves here, Brian.
Agreed. Robert Woods is a USC guy. Obviously, he's coming back home to the Coliseum. And obviously, Andrew Whitworth is one of the best left tackles in the NFL. So obviously, getting a guy like that and Robert Woods is a coup for the franchise. So it's a good move for the Rams.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's one of those under-the-radar type, really good-looking moves. Some of the other moves that have surprised you or you look at and you say, okay, that was fantastic. What are some of the signings today that have stood out to you?
The money grab by Calais Campbell.
Yeah.
I thought he would get paid and pay for a contender, not try to get the most money. But then again, in the NFL and NFL players, you have to get whatever you can. You have to get the most money you can. But I thought Calais Campbell would have wanted to play for a contender. I thought he would have probably taken the $13 million that Denver offered, but he didn't. And he said he wants to go to Jacksonville and play for the lowly Jaguars. So that, I mean, I'm not against anybody getting their money, but, you know, I feel like you should get your money and try to win. So, but, you know, it's a money grab, and that's good for him. Obviously, they're going to be a talented defense, but obviously the offense is leaves a lot to be desired.
Yet, it's tough for me here because I agree with you. Calais Campbell did go out. He grabbed $30 million, which, again, I mean, that's a lot of money. The way NFL contracts are really structured, I mean, you could sign a $100 million contract tomorrow. If none of that money is guaranteed, you can be cut at any time. For Calais Campbell to grab $30
million, exactly.
He goes to Jacksonville. And, Brian, I liked Jacksonville last year. I like what they're doing defensively. The middle of this defense looks great. Campbell's going to give them something on the outside. I think the Jags are very close defensively with the signing.
They're very close, and I think they're going to be one of the top defenses. The only thing I will say about this, the Tennessee Titans are still the best team in the division until the Texans get Tony Romo. So, you know, until the Texans make a decision and get Tony Romo, It's not like the Titans aren't the best team in this division, because I think they still have the best quarterback other than Andrew Luck. The only reason why I wouldn't say Indianapolis has the best team is because it's not a good roster around Andrew Luck right now.
I think that roster is incomplete. You and I have had that conversation multiple times. Again, Brian Mejia joining us right now to talk a little bit about NFL free agency. I know that a couple of other names are going to sign here relatively soon. We do talk about the Raiders quite a bit on this show. Latavius Murray, where does this guy end up?
I think a team like Minnesota could pick up Latavius, because I don't feel like Adrian Peterson is going back unless we see something unforeseen. So I think Latavius could end up with a power team like Minnesota. And I think they could use his services. He's a young guy, and obviously they're going to be moving on from Adrian. So I think Adrian wants to go to a team where he could contend and probably win a championship soon.
We can jump back over to the Browns. They give Kenny Britt a four-year, $32 million deal with $15 million of that, $17 million of that guaranteed. Big money for Kenny Britt. DeSean Jackson's on his way to Tampa Bay, so we're starting to see some of the bigger wide receiver names find places. We've talked about Robert Woods. I think Alshon Jeffrey will have a home here relatively soon as well. So all in all, some of the big wide receiver names are coming off of the market quickly.
Most definitely. DeSean is going to a team that I think going to be able to contend in the NFC South. I think they just missed the playoffs last year, so maybe they could get over the hump this year. And obviously, like you said, Kenny Britt signing that big deal with Cleveland is because Kenny Britt, you know, guys just want to get paid, and Cleveland has the money, just like Malcolm Smith did with San Francisco. I think he is not worth $25 million guaranteed. That's one of the worst contracts I've ever seen for a guy that's production wasn't as well as, you know, he was named the Super Bowl MVP, but, I mean, I don't think he deserved it. I thought Russell Wilson should have probably won it that year, but that's neither here nor there, and I don't think his production in Oakland was as good over the last 2 years as well.
The Patriots have been very active in free agency, and again, a lot of people are talking about a potential trade in which Malcolm Butler could very well be on his way to New Orleans for Brandon Cooks. I heard, you know, glimpses of this rumor earlier today. Is there any strength to that? Does that rumor have any legs to it at all?
Well, if you look at Brandon Cooks' Instagram, he definitely pointed to something like that, and that's something that New Orleans and New England, I think they'd be helping each other out. I think, you know, believe it or not, the Pats need to stretch the field a little more. You know, if there's any weakness in their team, it's probably stretching the field, and Brandon Cooks would obviously do that. And obviously in New Orleans, they need a shutdown corner. I'm not saying Malcolm's a shutdown corner, but he's a corner that could definitely help out Dennis Allen's defense in New Orleans.
So if this actually does go through, there's one other defensive back whose name has been floated around on the market. Where does Trumaine Johnson go, and does he get moved before the NFL draft? I thought he'd be gone already. I thought a deal would have been done 2 days ago, Brian, but still, he's on this Ram roster, and there seems to be a lot of, I guess you could say, speculation building that a team like Miami may try to make a move for him.
They can, but at the end of the day, I think they have a lot of money tied up right now as well on the defensive front, and, you know, I think they should probably concentrate on trying to get Ryan Tannehill a little more help. Maybe on the offensive line. You know, he suffered that injury last year, so I feel like they should be concentrating on – they could probably fortify the defense a bit more if they felt like it, but I feel like they should just concentrate on doing some other things. But like you said, Trumaine is a guy that probably will be traded, but at the end of the day, it's kind of hard to find equal value for a guy like Trumaine Johnson. I know the Rams are kicking themselves for letting Janoris Jenkins go last year.
Let's move on from free agency talk, and let's talk relocation here for a moment. I thought the Raiders' move to Las Vegas was dead. I thought that you had a couple of major investors pull out of it. I thought there's no way they're going to go to Vegas. They may be stuck in Oakland. You and I talked about some other locations where they may actually, you may look at relocating too. Now it looks like Vegas is moving forward, and I'd be shocked at this point, Brian, if they're not in Vegas.
I'd be 110% shocked if they're not playing in Las Vegas. If the stadium isn't approved later this month, I'd be shocked. It's like, you know, kind of have the feeling that at the end the Rams would be joining the the Rams would be coming to Inglewood. I kind of feel like the same thing is about the Raiders. I feel like they're going to be playing in Las Vegas at the 2020 season. I feel like this is just waiting to happen, and it's something that's going to happen.
What's the time frame on this right now, Brian? What are we looking at as far as voting and when this could happen at the earliest?
I would say the vote is going to come down to like a 28-4, 30-2. I feel like the full membership is on board because they need a solution for the Raiders. But at the end of the day, I think there's one or two owners that still don't like the fact that they're going to be tied to gambling.
Last question before I let you go, Brian. Will the Raiders be the Las Vegas Raiders or have an agreement in place and league approval before the draft? Does it happen before the NFL draft?
Yes. Yes and yes. I definitely think both those things are going to happen, and I think it's going to move around pretty quickly.
All right. Well, I said that was the last question. I'm going to throw one more out there for you. Where's Jay Cutler play football next season?
Denver Broncos.
You think so? You think a reunion in Denver? That seems likely at this point. If Denver doesn't grab Romo, Cutler's the next best option, right?
Yep, and that's what I think John Elway's going to do. I definitely think John Elway's thinking about that as well.
Brian Mejia, he's our Drive Time Sports NFL insider. Always great to get you on the show. Brian, thank you again for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk some NFL free agency and relocation. We'll do it again next week.
Definitely, buddy. Thank you.
That's Brian Mejia, a hard worker out of Los Angeles, covering the NFL free agency in depth. And, of course, He's got the insight on the owners' meetings as the vote comes for relocation for the Oakland Raiders. We're going to break for just a moment. We'll come back with the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports when we return here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Emery Telecom's new eFiber Internet service is helping business here in eastern Utah. Businesses know that unreliable Internet connections can have real costs. Any amount of unplanned downtime can bring business communications and productivity to a complete stop. With new fiber optic internet available through Emery Telecom, your business will experience the fastest, most dependable internet service available. Even during high demand periods, your connection will stay fast with eFiber. Let Emery Telecom help your business stay connected. Call them today at 613-9605.
At Castleview Physical Therapy, they know your health is very important to you. That is why they take pride in offering you the highest quality of rehabilitation. Castleview is the only clinic in the area to be able to offer aquatic therapy. Their warm water pool is inviting and effective in providing a safe method to heal injuries. They are happy to offer this service that has been proven to be one of the best rehab environments to make exercise safer, more relaxing, and less painful. Come in and see how Castleview's aquatic therapy can help make your road to recovery a pleasant one. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 636-4841.
Dr. Kyle Jeffrey is a board-certified general surgeon in our area that schedules office visits in both Price and Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopy or colonoscopy. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey for either Price or Castledale, call 613-7874. That's 613-7874.
Her car isn't running right, and she's been after you for weeks to fix it. But you would much rather be watching the game than now diagnosing a car problem that could take hours. Am I right? Guys, let me let you in on a little secret. She doesn't care how it gets fixed. She just wants it fixed. So get to J&D Auto in Castledale today and get one of your honeydews checked off. J&D Auto is number one in parts and service. They will quickly get the problem diagnosed and get you the right parts for the job. Be her hero and get into J&D Auto today. But hurry, the game's starting soon. That's J&D Auto on Main Street in Castledale.
Castle Country radio stations KOAL, KARB, and KRPX have money available to assist cancer patients who must travel to receive treatment. This money was raised during our annual pie auction, which is held every June. The generosity of our Castle Valley residents has enabled us to provide $100 fuel cards to cancer patients of Carbon and Emery counties who must travel for treatment. Please contact Ann Anderson at 637-1167. The process is very simple, and the fuel cards will be mailed directly to you.
This is Trevor Ariza, and you listen to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Ariza, ahead of the pack. Ariza, reverse slam! An explosive game for Trevor Ariza.
You like Twitter? I'm on Twitter quite a bit, and I'm trying to figure out, to my understanding, this was all legit. If you follow Twitter enough, you know that people have fake Twitter accounts. And there's a Twitter account for everything. And if I'm looking for some specific news on an individual, all you have to do is go up, type their name in, and all the tweets will pop up. I mean, you could find that there's probably a Twitter account for Gordon Hayward's hair. Vernon Maxwell did an ultimate troll job last night on the Utah Jazz, if the account was real. And judging by the responses, I think it is real. I think it's really his account. Now, of course, Vernon Maxwell is not going to be a hot commodity. He's not a hot follow on Twitter. But, you know, according to this Twitter account, former NBA player, two-time world champion, Gainesville, Florida, Houston, Texas, Charlotte, North Carolina. He's got about 6,000 followers. And it looks legit. Last night, he had some bad things to say about the Jazz. And a couple of well-known writers throughout the state of Utah actually acknowledged him. And typically that doesn't happen. A couple of these writers I hold in high regard, they typically don't respond to fake Twitter accounts. I haven't been able to confirm this Twitter account, but it got the attention of a lot of people last night. Here was one of the tweets. It said, "How fitting is it that we are playing the Jazz and it just happens to be International Women's Day?" He really tweeted this last night before the Jazz and Rockets game. Later, he responded with, "I would like to apologize, Jazz fans, that were offended by my tweets. If I knew you guys had internet in Utah, I would have never made those tweets." So either Vernon Maxwell was very angry and very bored last night, or someone actually implemented quite the troll job on Twitter. I'm going to say it's a troll job. I can't believe that a former athlete would get on Twitter and say something like that. I really can't. Who knows, though? Take a look at some of the other news around the NFL. Nothing really has surfaced over the last 5 minutes since we just hung up the phone with Brian Mejia. As far as college basketball goes, again, the Utah Utes right now taking on the Cal Bears. The winner of this game will advance tomorrow to take on the Oregon Ducks. And as it stands right now, the Utes are 5 points down with about 15 minutes to play in the game. They trail 45-38. They're now down by 7 points with about 13:48 to play in the contest. Kyle Kuzma has been terrific for the Utes. That's about it for this team, though, so far. He's got 13 points. He's the only Ute in double figures. A loss here for the Utes pretty much means no dance. They need to win the Pac-12 tournament to get in. It was a topic of discussion about 3 weeks ago on what the Utes needed to do to get in. I love the Pac-12 this year. It's been very entertaining basketball. I think they're one of the best conferences in college basketball. You got three teams in UCLA, Arizona, and Oregon, three teams that I think could make deep runs throughout the NCAA tournament. So keep your eyes on the Utes. Hopefully they can pull that out in the final 12 minutes. Out of time on the show today. Tomorrow it's going to be a special edition. I'm going to be live at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. I'm making the journey to Vegas tonight. I'm just about to head out of the studio. Make the journey. I'm going to be at Las Vegas Motor Speedway throughout the week. Of course, us being a NASCAR MRN and PRN affiliate, we bring you a NASCAR race every weekend. Tomorrow's show is going to be a lot of fun. David Reagan, Monster Energy Cup driver, is expected to join me live in the media room at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. I also have an interview set up with Bubba Wallace from the NASCAR Infinity Series, and we'll talk some Pac-12 basketball. Again, being in Vegas, Pac-12 tournament is there. Greg Peterson, great friend of mine and great friend of the show, he's going to join us to talk some college basketball. I'm looking forward to it. We leave the state of Utah to do the show like once or twice a year at most. And so hopefully you'll join us tomorrow. We'll be live at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. I'm looking forward to tomorrow's show. Thank you to Brian Mejia and also to Coach Sean Bell. I'll catch you tomorrow from Las Vegas. It's going to be 3 o'clock my time, 4 o'clock your time, right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Have a great night. I'm out.
Hi, this is JC Ibanez with Tatna Meller Insurance. Every great win starts with a great game plan, and every great game plan requires a great team to carry it out. At Tatna Meller Insurance, we use X's and O's to develop the perfect blueprint for your win. As an independent insurance agency, we use a playbook with over 30 different options to find the plan that's a slam dunk. We have the strategy for you, as well as an amazing team that works to get you the protection needed for all the MVPs in your life. Give me a call today at 637-LIFE. That's 637-5433.